The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security, disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
It's time for The Drive's Top 4 at 4.
4 o'clock on your Thursday afternoon. Jake Lester in with the top 4 at 4, which is brought to you this afternoon by our friends at Citizens National Bank, the official bank of The Drive. Jake?
Yes, sir. Number 1, New York Jets quarterback Sam Darnold has been ruled out indefinitely as a result of being diagnosed with mono. Trevor Siemian will start in his place on Monday against the Cleveland Browns.
It's a kissing disease, Jake Lester.
Little Sam Darnold. Broadway Sam out there swapping spit with some young hussy in Manhattan. Now he's cost his team big time. First you blow a 17-point lead in the fourth quarter against the Bills. And now this? Not a good start, Sam Darnold. Not a good start at all.
Number 2. We have some conspiracy in the horse racing world.
Ooh.
Justify the winning horse in last year's Kentucky Derby and eventual Triple Crown winner. Apparently failed a drug test 1 month before the Kentucky Derby. Justify tested positive for scopolamine, I believe.
The horses are juicing now? Is nothing sacred?
A banned substance. After winning the Santa Anita Derby, however, rather than being disqualified, the regulators failed to inform Justify's trainer, Bob Baffert, right away. They waited until 9 days before the Derby, at which Baffert requested a second sample be taken. The second sample confirmed the results, but the confirmation came 3 days after the Derby. Justify was allowed to run the remaining two races of the Triple Crown before the failed test was brought up to the director's board on August 23rd, 4 months after the initial drug test.
So what's the controversy? I don't get it.
The horse was juiced, man.
I get
Ben Johnson in the 88 Seoul Olympics.
I get that, but they're saying like because the horse racing governing body was late. In, like, who cares?
Well, they didn't tell.
The horse was the horse juiced?
Yes,
okay.
And they didn't tell anybody.
End of story. Then you know Bob Baffert should be kicked out of horse racing. Like what do you want? I mean the horse is a fraud. Justifies a fraud. He shouldn't be allowed to go out and stud. He should just have to go out. Just turn him loose on the beaches. Let him live out the rest of his life a wild horse in shame and disgrace. Horse racing, just a stupid sport, man. I hate horse racing. So dumb.
You're not a big fan of horses, are you?
Horses are fine, just horse racing in general. It's a stupid hobby, man. Yeah. It's such a stupid Kentucky thing to do. Oh, let's go watch a bunch of horses run around in a circle while some sadistic midget with a whip beats and thrashes them on the back. Oh, they run around in a circle. Here's something they don't tell you. If the horse falls and breaks a leg, they'll blow its brains out right there on the track.
How about that? Give it a shot. They don't blow its brains out.
What's the difference? It's dead because it fell during the middle of a race. Horse racing is so stupid, man. I'm tired of it. They ought to ban it. Ban horse racing.
All right.
Let these little, 5'4" Central American jockeys go get a real job.
Oh,
riding a horse around.
Easy now. Kind of beating a dead horse.
Wait. Ah.
Moving on. Number 3, the Florida elementary school student who apparently Russ is also tired of, who was bullied because of his homemade Tennessee shirt he wore on College Colors Day, has been extended an offer of honorary admission by the University of Tennessee to join the class of 2032 on a 4-year scholarship covering his tuition and fees beginning fall 2028, should he decide to attend UT and meet admission requirements.
Ah, the admission requirements line, yeah. I'm with you, Russ. 15 minutes are up, Junior. It's time to go.
Hey, I hate that he got bullied. Bullying sucks. Really pisses me off. I'm glad that he got all the free UT swag. But at some point, we're going to give this kid free school now? What kind of message are we sending to him and to other children? We are reinforcing the virtue of victimhood. Everybody wants to be I was bullied, so I should get free college too. You got a bunch of free shirts, man. Let that be the end of it. Get back to work and go out there and earn your own living.
He's 7 years old, though, Russ.
You got to learn sometimes. 7 years old. Like, I'm not saying
that's a good point.
I'm not saying put him to work in the coal mine. I'm just saying, like, you got your free shirt, kid. Now learn at your multiplication tables. What's wrong with that?
All right.
I thought this was America. I'm gonna hand everything to this kid on a silver platter. I mean, good grief, we've gotten soft in this country.
Was that it, or do we
still have number four if we can make it there?
All right, number four.
Number four. Hopefully, this one's not too controversial. Washington Redskins running back Darius Geis underwent knee surgery today to repair his right meniscus and will miss 6 to 8 weeks. This allows Adrian Peterson to step in Geis's place and start 1 week after being a healthy and active in the season opener and possibly a good fantasy pickup.
I just picked him up.
That's just great.
Just picked him up.
Great.
Who does he play for again?
Redskins.
Yeah, so if he was already down at Pensacola, they're saying 4 to 8 weeks with a meniscus injury. I mean, he's on the bench for till what? End of
I mean, if they're not in it, they may just shut him down for the rest of the year. I mean, he's their bell cow they drafted.
Yeah, but he's just coming back from that horrible ACL tear last year.
That's why I think that they learned their lesson with RG3, and hopefully those idiots up there will just put him on the shelf because they're not going to be in playoff contention.
I still can't get over the by the way, thank you, Jake. That's the top four brought to you by Citizens National Bank, the official bank of the drive. Check them out online at cmbtn.com or just call 865-453-9031 to find a branch near you. Citizens National Bank, where banking never felt so good. These Maryville kids going over to Gary Rankin's house and vandalizing his son's truck. They said that they attached pictures to a truck that his son drives and that removing the clear tape damaged the paint on the truck. And a Maryville High School student he named has admitted to placing pictures along with tape on the truck. Deputies saw multiple places on the driver's side of the truck where paint was missing. Somebody's going to pay for it, Rankin said during a brief phone interview Thursday with the Maryville Daily Times, which he declined to provide additional details such as what was on the pictures. He said, quote, "I don't think it was maliciously done." He estimated a new paint job on the 1998 Chevrolet would cost thousands of dollars.
It's a damn 21-year-old truck, Gary. Come on now.
Still, man, you don't mess with a man's truck.
No, and I'm all about, you know, spare the rod, spoil the child. But and damn thing's 21 years old.
What do you think Gary Rankin's pregame speech like? Kids, like, they're nasty.
Rankin's a known loon.
They're going to run the ball about 60 times tonight, just right at Maryville. A quarterback's going to throw about 5 passes.
There's going to be several cheap shots probably on both sides. It's one of those kind of games. That's why the hell I'm thinking about driving all the way out to Alcoa to watch it.
It'll be on TV tonight.
See that truck out there? You know why it's dirty? Go fix the problem.
Listen up, boys. Listen up, men. Let me tell you what those bastards did over there. They done come over to my house, ruin my son's truck. I ain't going to stand for it. I want to see some blood on the field. I want to see some snot bubbles getting blown. We're going to lock the gates on them, and they ain't getting out till we're done with them. You understand me?
That's pretty good.
Incoming scholarship for Rankin's son.
I would love to. Good, Jake. I would love to be a fly on the wall for Gary Rankin's pregame speech tonight. I guarantee you that will be just absolute classic high school football hard-assery.
That's awesome. Hey, at least, I don't know. Tonight's going to be, I want to see like a hard-nosed high school game with some good calls and some not lagging in stream.
Whoa. Good calls?
Yeah,
buddy, this game's going to be in Blood County. There won't be any damn good calls.
We're not going to get a down the middle call tonight?
Hell no.
You might have a down the middle call, but you're going to have like a bunch of refs out there like what guy's going to have like those thick like glasses like Jerry Seinfeld was wearing when he's trying to fool Lloyd Braun. There's going to be one guy with like a peg leg. None of the officials, and I mean none of them, are going to be under three bills.
Uh-uh.
I mean,
one of them is somehow related to somebody on the Maryville coaching staff. You're
going to get TSSAA officiating at its best, and when I say best, I mean worst.
I just thought that maybe they brought in officials from another county for such a big game like this.
Let's get Phil in here. Phil, you're on the drive.
What do you say, Phil? Not seen you boys yesterday.
Yeah, man. Thanks for coming along and adding a little spice to hour three of the drive yesterday.
it's amazing the cars are green. I mean, in the 5 o'clock hour, you know, spread the gospel.
It's usually when our listeners are starting to really get into their afternoon buzz, Phil.
Well, yeah, but I heard the poll. The poll proves everything I've been saying. You have a dead football program.
D-E-A-D, dead.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is, but there's not much rehash I want to, though. But W said yesterday that we have a chance to beat Florida. We have no chance to beat Florida.
Yeah, Russ.
And you said just a few minutes ago, you said that Garantino might improve. He'll never improve. You can't teach an old dog new tricks.
I sure
you
can.
He's a fourth-year junior. He's never going to get better.
But I was told all summer long that Jarrett Garantano's got an eye on the NFL in 2020. It's going to be his last year here.
Best quarterback out there.
Yeah, is that the S machine putting that out?
I mean, I don't know who it was, but multiple sources have told that Jarrett Garantano plans on playing in the National Football League this time next year. That's
well, maybe he does.
I mean, as what?
I mean, maybe the Mississippi River will flow backwards. You know,
he's got to he could get better. I'm not saying he's going to be a world beater, but
there's a better chance. There's a better
play pro football.
Nah, he's not. But there's a better chance of that game being called fair and square tonight out there in Alcoa than there is at Garantano.
Oh, you guys
NFL.
Are brutal. You guys are brutal.
Well, the Blount County Association will be in rare form. Alcoa have to win with two touchdowns to make sure. But the last two games have been close, very close games. And Maribel won a close one. Alcoa fumbled the ball going into the game and scoring, and Maribel took it. I think picked it up and run at 100 yards for a touchdown. And then the last year, Alcoa beat them. But I expect a close game. And, I think Alcoa's beat Merville back-to-back years, and I can't remember.
It's been a long time.
Yeah. Maybe Billy Williams there. I don't know.
Yeah,
I
think it may have been during that period. What was the other kid's name? Didn't they have a kid that went to Alabama?
They had a –
Prince.
A kid that went to Georgia.
What was that kid's
name? He played
name?
Tight end down in Georgia. I can't remember the kid's name.
They've had some good ones out there.
Yeah. But, guys, I just don't get this Merrill Alcoa stuff. Coach, that's bad for the coach to have his truck messed up.
Yeah, it seems like it's a little bit beyond the pale for – high school football rivalry. By the way, we've got Jake Lester's got some inside scoop on pranks that have been played against Tennessee involving Smokey coming up here a little bit later that you're going to want to stay tuned for.
Nobody want to hear it now. I mean, so we're so bad, it don't even matter. I mean,
I can get fairly
I'll say one thing. Jake has got a little pizzazz to him. I'm going to start calling him Jake the Snake.
Appreciate that, Philly.
I just hope he has a better future than the last Jack the Snake I knew. Bear probably knows what I'm talking about.
All right. Well, thanks for bringing the inside joke that not even Bear remembers to the phone lines this afternoon. Phil, have yourself a great afternoon.
He run for governor.
Signed it for Withrow. So
Jake
out
Butcher?
Next.
I don't know.
Yeah, that must have been what it was.
So
inside joke on that one.
Let's see, what do we got? Chad Withrow, 104.5 The Zone in Nashville coming up. He's a good, solid Tennessee guy. We're going to get some can we get like some WD-40 or something for these chairs? Between Trey and Jake's chairs, I've got like dueling, squeaking chairs.
You just got it out for me today.
Well, no, I mean, you guys are rocking and squeaking chairs during the radio show. Like, it's unnerving.
The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group today at 865-566-0800. Applying for disability can be very tedious. Having an experienced attorney on your side makes it easy. Call Disability Advantage Group 865-566-0800 or visit online at dag-us.com.
I mean, we're already on edge here. What did they say about the squeaky chair? It gets the grease. Back with more right after this. The Drive live this afternoon here on Fan Run Radio. Stay with us.
This is The Drive.
Back here on The Drive, Fox Sports Knoxville, Russell, Trey, and Bear cruising along with you here on your Thursday afternoon. Pleased to be joined now by Chad Withrow of 104.5 The Zone. Chad, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well, fellas. How about you?
Hey, we're doing all right. Your job is interesting this week, and I know Tennessee football, like the fans over there, probably apathy setting in, but between, you know, I know you're a Tennessee guy, between the, you know, talk about two opposite ends of the spectrum, the high of the Titans fans riding this week versus the low of University of Tennessee football fans. That is quite the difference right there in just tone of a fan base.
Well, and I'm sure you guys, you know, you there in Knoxville, you can't get away from it, obviously, with Tennessee football.
We're trying.
We've spent a lot more time talking Titans this week. And as you guys also know, typically with your college team, it's much more embedded in the fan. So I think while people have a much more emotional response, let's say you're a Titans and a Vols fan this week, while they have a much more emotional response to the Tennessee Vols, they've kind of used the Titans to try to block that out of their mind right now and sort of move forward. So the Titans were certainly a nice little break from the misery that has been the 0-2 start to the Tennessee football season.
So let's start there. As you follow the Tennessee situation closely, obviously the loss to Georgia State was a new low. BYU, at least, I mean, that's a name program, but to lose in the way you did, it's just another kick in the crotch to Tennessee fans. Where does it go from here? What are your thoughts on Jeremy Pruitt and his future here?
Yeah, it's strangely better and worse after the BYU game in a weird way. And this is what I mean by it. I think you can put week one entirely on the coaching staff. They were ill-prepared. They didn't really have a plan. They didn't do much to help their players in the game. There were small adjustments that could have been made defensively that could have helped them out against Georgia State. They didn't do it. And because of that, they got beat. In week two, I thought the coaches really stepped up. It was a good, solid plan. They looked a lot less confused. Defensively, they looked really good. You know, all but that last play, they've given up really 6 points. They gave 7 points on a very short field after the turnover. So defensively, they were good. They just ran into poor quarterback play and two really boneheaded plays by two different guys on the same play with Alante Taylor and Nigel Warrior. So you leave that game kind of feeling like, okay, you know, Tennessee at least has a plan. It looks like they can play better than the Georgia State game, but it's still a program that just always finds a way to lose. And that's almost more defeating than the Georgia State game, because after Georgia State, you're thinking, well, they just weren't ready to go, and they got beat. Well, after that game, you're thinking, okay, there is a better level, but it's still just a group of guys who doesn't – not only do they not know how to win, they make the one play to lose.
Yeah,
it's not – I mean, all they had to do was give up a 30-yard completion on that play, and they win the game. And they still find a way to do the one thing that will get them beat. So in terms of Jeremy Pruitt, I mean, look, Tennessee fans have to be patient. I know they don't want to hear that. I don't think there's any way that he's out of a job after this year. I don't know that there's any way he should be out of a job short of losing every game by 40-plus points from here on out, and I don't think that's going to happen. So it's much more of a wait-and-see approach with Jeremy Pruitt, but certainly everything that's gone on to start this season, if this continues, this makes year three very, very important for Jeremy Pruitt.
No doubt about it. And how does it change expectations for this season? You know, Vegas had the win line around 6.5. A lot of fans had visions of 8 wins dancing in their head. Obviously, that's out the window. Can this team get to 6 wins and a bowl game, or do you just have to completely recalibrate your expectations if you're a Tennessee fan at this point?
You have to completely recalibrate your expectations. And I tell all of my Tennessee – and look, I'm a Tennessee grad, so I completely get it. I tell all of my Tennessee friends this, but you're going to go crazy trying to pick wins and losses for this year. It's only going to depress you when you look down the schedule and start trying to project what the overall win-loss total will be. Now, to answer your first question, can they get to 6 wins? Absolutely. I think there are 6 possible wins left on the schedule. It could happen. I don't think that it will. So what you have to focus on if you're a Tennessee fan right now, week-to-week improvement. Is this team better in November than they are right now? Because a year ago, in October, when they're knocking off Auburn, and then I guess early November or late October, one of the two, when they knock off Kentucky, that was a team that was much better than they were against Missouri and Vandy. I want to see the opposite this year. This team is allowed to start slow and get better and better. Play young guys. They're going to get their legs underneath them. They're going to learn more. Maybe some of the older guys step up also. What I want to see from this Tennessee team, despite wins and losses, I want to see them playing their best football in November. I want to see a team that sticks with it, that's going out there and getting better week to week. I think if you do that and you win a couple games that month, then suddenly you have something to sell if you're Jeremy Pruitt. Hey, we've got a very young team, and look how bad we were at the start of the year, and look how much better they got. This is going to be a good team coming back in year three. I think that's the way you have to look at it if you're a Tennessee fan. I'm not even looking at wins and losses now. I just want to see how the team looks each week, and I want them to get a little bit better each week.
Chad, Jerry Garitano's been pumped up for, and I'm going to say this nicely, but it is what it is. For the last 3 years, if you said a bad word about Jerry Garitano in this town, you know, they wanted to take you out to pasture. And we've seen him now. I know he's been through a couple different offensive coordinators, and I completely understand that, and I play that into a factor at times. But have we seen the best that we're going to see out of Garitano? Like last year's Auburn game, when he was tossing the ball up 30, 40 yards down the field, praying that Callaway or Jennings comes down with it. Is that the best that we're ever going to get with Jerry Garitano at Tennessee? And let me add on to that. Is there a situation in your mind where Tennessee needs to figure out if they actually have a quarterback behind him in a live game experience?
Well, your second part of the question first.
Yeah.
Yes, they have to figure out what's behind them. And I don't want to hear any more about these guys aren't good in practice. You know who else who we heard for a long time wasn't good in practice? Josh Dobbs. And they put him in against Alabama his freshman year, and he made plays. And that's what Josh Dobbs did his whole career, right? He was a gamer.
Good point.
Maybe one of these guys are just, they're a gamer. They'll get out there and they'll look good. Now, do I think Garitano's the best option right now? Yes. But I still think you also have to figure out what you have in Maurer and Shrout behind him. I don't know that we've seen the best of Jarrett Garitano. I mean, I'll add the South Carolina game a year ago. I thought he looked good.
Good point.
That game looked more comfortable. Maybe he gets more comfortable with Jim Chaney's system. But, guys, you're seeing this like I am. There is something broken with him. And I don't want to speak too ill of the guy, but it looks like something broke internally because he can't see the field. He's looking one direction. I was honestly shocked in overtime when on a 3rd and 11 in that first series for Tennessee, he hit, I believe it was Callaway, for 12 yards on a first down on the sideline. And I'm thinking, boy, he was wide open, and I'm honestly shocked that he found the wide open guy on that play. And maybe that was just his first option and he got lucky, but his inability to go through any type of read progression from play to play is killing Tennessee, because I thought Jim Chaney called a really good game and they had some big plays they left on the field. Of course, the Juwan Jennings touchdown that was just thrown too late. I mean, that's an issue. They've got to fix that. I'm not sure how you do it other than maybe kind of doing what Jim Chaney did with Jonathan Crompton back in the day, cutting the field in half, doing some more rollout, bootleg-type stuff, make it a little bit simpler on him, give him two reads and not three or four, because when he gets three or four, he's getting lost on that first read. He's not moving away from that. I'm not sure what the answer is, but Tennessee's got a number of coaches on that offensive side that should be able to figure something out for Garitano moving forward.
It's weird, man. Chad, because I went back and watched game tapes, and I put a couple of clips out there. And the clips that I did, you know, one where it looked like he was just staring down Dominic Wood Anderson coming across the middle. When you had Jennings open down the field immediately, pretty much he broke away. And you had Callaway as well. And then the other one was in overtime where you had a play where he threw the ball to Jennings. And if Jennings doesn't steal the football away from the BYU defender, the game would be over right then. But he had Eric Gray coming wide open across the middle where he didn't have to throw into coverage like that. I'm a little bit thrown back to see that Tennessee, the University of Tennessee, you know, doesn't have in their mind a backup quarterback that they even think could go in there, because all that we've heard for the last 2 months is, Yeah, we don't have anybody close to Garantano. That's hard to believe at a university like this, where you've seen other places where backup quarterbacks come in. I mean, USC just started a third stringer the other night, and they go out there and they beat up on Stanford. Like, there's got to be somewhere in the middle, and I wonder if you agree with me or not here.
Yeah.
Where maybe Pruitt is trying to – is it – okay, here it is. They don't – if they know – if they benched Garantano, and I've heard this a couple times, if they bench Garantano or they pull him out of the game, they think they're going to lose him. And I would love your opinion on that. If you think that they might be scared that they're going to lose him for the year, or maybe he's done, I just can't figure out why other schools around the country can do it, but Tennessee can't.
No, it's a great question. And, I mean, my question in response to that would be, doesn't it already look like he's kind of lost it?
Yeah,
I mean, if mentally he's just a little bit shattered from all the hits last year and just constantly thinking there's pressure there even when there's not, because I think Tennessee's offensive line has done pretty well this year, quite frankly, based on my expectations of them coming into the season, then what's the point of, you know, just playing him so he sticks around if he's already lost it a bit? I don't think he's completely lost it. There has to be something better. We've seen better from him.
Yeah.
I would hope that Jim Chaney continuing to work with him, maybe spending a little bit more time with him, that they can kind of simplify the offense to make it look better. But I'll also say this to your point, Trey. Those two guys are on scholarship. You brought in Brian Bauer. You signed off on the scholarship. You brought in JT Shroud. I realized that was Tyson Helton's guy and this and that. These are guys who had opportunities to go play football at other good schools that have produced some pretty good quarterbacks. Give them a chance. At some point, even if they're bad on the practice field, you got to see what they have. And I think that starts this weekend. Here's what I want to see from Tennessee against UTC this weekend. I want to see what I saw from Will Muschamp and South Carolina staff against Charleston Southern. You go into that game and you game plan like you're playing Georgia this week, and you put up a ton of points. This is a team that desperately needs confidence. Will Muschamp had a freshman quarterback coming in because of injury, and they put up 75 points. And they, in fact, ran the score up to give their offense confidence and see what they had. I'm not saying Tennessee's capable of 75 points. I'm not saying that they're going to be running up the score on Chattanooga. I do believe they're going to win this game. But I think you go into this game with that mindset. Hey, this is not some scrimmage. We need to go out there with a really good game plan, and we need to put up points, and we need to look good, because this is a team that badly needs a win of any kind. Is beating Chattanooga going to fix everything? No, absolutely not. But it helps. It will help this team just to see some success, and it's especially going to help Jarrett Garantano to see some success.
Chad Withrow, 104.5 The Zone in Nashville, with us here this afternoon. And Chad, let's talk about the Titans real quick here. Obviously, the Colts have been a thorn in their side for many years. But you look at Andrew Luck, no longer there. You see what happened with Foles in Jacksonville. And Deshaun Watson, as good as the Texans looked in a losing effort Monday night, he did get up a little gimpy at times there. I mean, it just seems like, I think we've talked about this before, the door is wide open for the Titans to walk through it and claim control of the AFC South. I mean, that was unexpected Sunday to see them go in there and just beat the Browns down the way that they did. It's got to be great feelings around the Titans franchise right now.
It really is. You know, Mariota's injury history, you worry about that. But like you said, you've got Gardner Minshew starting for Jacksonville. Maybe that leads to Josh Dobbs at some point. Of course, Jacoby Brissett now with Indianapolis. Deshaun Watson being banged up. The division was going to be wide open when Andrew Luck retired regardless, but it does look like a great situation for the Titans. I'll tell you this, though. I thought when Andrew Luck retired, I circled this game this week against Indianapolis at home and said, well, that's one you got to get. That is a must-win. You should win that game. There are no excuses. Now, while I still feel that way, I'm a little bit more nervous because the Colts looked a heck of a lot better than I expected in L.A. against the Chargers, a team that my co-host Jonathan Hutton actually picked to go to the Super Bowl in taking them to overtime. And really, Adam Vinatieri with a bad day kicking, two missed extra points, a missed field goal, or they win that game in L.A. So that was a good performance by Indianapolis. They're a good team, and I think Brissett could be a good starting quarterback in the league, but he's not Andrew Luck. And that was the bugaboo with the Titans. So I fully expect the Titans to play well and win this week, but we have seen some inconsistent play before. And I think against Cleveland, talking with the players this week, they fully expected the old Browns. They went in there and they treated it like a business trip. I mean, I know Cleveland was excited about it, but they said, hey, this is the team that we're going to beat. And that's how they acted before the game, during the game, and after the game. So really impressive performance by the Titans overall in week one.
Has it jumped up the city's excitement for this year? I know during training camp it was, oh, man, Taylor Lewan, you know, is Marcus going to be healthy? You know, who we got at wide receiver? But has it, you know, has it jumped it up a little bit? I mean,
yeah,
compared to where it was when we talked a month ago, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's definitely gotten the Titans fans more excited. And you combine that with the fact that this weekend they're going to have a ceremony to retire the numbers of Eddie George and Steve McNair.
Yep.
And Steve McNair's family may be back in the stadium for the first time to be honored since he was murdered. I think that's a big part of it. Eddie George has been making the media rounds. He's actually got an event tonight with Ray Lewis in Nashville where they're going to share some old stories for a select group of people. So it's going to be a big weekend in Nashville around the Titans. And it's a stadium that has not had great atmosphere, quite frankly, in recent years. I think that atmosphere is going to be really good on Sunday with everything going on.
All right, good stuff. Chad, always appreciate your time, my man. Enjoy the football this weekend, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, guys. I'm hoping that you'll have a Tennessee win to discuss next week after this game against Chattanooga on Saturday. Fingers crossed.
We
Fingers
better. Crossed man, we better, dude. I can't do another Monday of these phone calls, man. I feel like I'm going crazy. Hey, enjoy the new little one, man. Congratulations.
All right, thanks, guys. Really appreciate it.
All right, brother. Peace.
Chad Withrow, 104.5 The Zone.
So I guess Chad's not getting a lot of sleep right now.
No, he's not.
how new is the baby?
I think it's 3-4 weeks.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
he's in the thick of it.
Right? Yeah. And having to deal with Vol stock and Titan stock, which it's, you know, it gets ramped up, you know, in Nashville too. Like, it's a very big deal. I worked at that station, man. I'm telling you, it's, you know, there are a lot.
I feel like the Vols, if I were on the air in Nashville, like, the Vol stuff would just take a backseat unless you're just taking cheap shots at the program or something.
Do you think, and I've had this conversation with multiple people because I worked in that market, and I'd love your opinion on this too. Is Nashville, and we'll talk about this too, I guess, is Nashville a Vols market or is it a Titans market?
No, it's a Titans market. It's the NFL, bro. It's the most popular sport in the world.
For a team that's only been there since 97?
They've got an NFL football in a major market. Yeah.
I get that, but I'm still kind of in – I can make an argument.
I think Alabama Auburn football probably a bigger deal. Vanderbilt basketball probably a bigger deal than Vols in Nashville right now. For sure. Stay with us. The Drive rages on. Fox Sports Knoxville. It's Fan Run Radio.
In your pipe and smoke it. The Drive.
Drive on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports, Knoxville, 865-546-8200. Your number to hop on the Nextdoor Home Group hotline, 546-8200. Who we got here, Bear?
My arch nemesis, my Lex Luthor, Titanic, Oilers Bill.
Titans Bill, 1-0.
I just love that cheap shot from you, you immature.
Yeah? Come on, you're off to such a good start, Titans. Bill, don't trail off.
You got me nailed now. I'm immature. I'll admit that.
You immature moron.
Oh! Whoa!
That was good.
I bet you outscored you on the ACT, Bill. Oh, me a moron.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you couldn't beat the Philadelphia. Your team couldn't beat the Philadelphia Eagles.
Hey, Titans, Bill, he couldn't spell ACT.
No, he couldn't.
Whoopity-doo, Bill. You guys whooped up on the dog crap Browns.
Even though he's my arch rival, I still consider him a friend.
No, absolutely. You're my pal.
I'm going to that game Saturday. What if we do lose to UT Chattanooga?
Then
shut
I expect
down
you
Henley
to
Street Bridge.
Get down on the
one thing Pruitt needs to do. He needs to start shaking up his coaching staff. Especially Tracy Rocking Chair and Chris Stinky.
Chris Stinky.
It's time for him to go.
if
of
we
course,
lose,
those are Bears idols. Did you know that?
Oh yeah, he's a big Chris Stinky
guy.
Oh
yeah, I'm huge
fan.
He
of loves Chris Stinky.
Chris Stinky.
Hey, if we lose to Chattanooga Titans, Bill, Philip Fulmer should meet Jeremy Pruitt in the tunnel after the game, hand him a pink slip, say, your services here are no longer needed. I'm taking over from here on out. Don't bother going back to clean out your office. We'll box your stuff up and mail it to you. You're done, so hit the bricks.
Doesn't even have to be anything written on it, just a pink piece of paper.
I don't think that would be a good idea, and I don't think the administration over there would be turned on to that.
No, it's Chattanooga.
Not at all.
It's a Southern Conference
especially
FCS
Randy
opponent.
Boyd.
That's fine. You don't lose. This is the University of Tennessee. We're in the SEC. You don't lose to an FCS Southern Conference opponent, period.
If he loses Saturday, you're saying fire, period.
Immediately. Don't even let him do the post-game speech in the locker room. I don't think it's going to happen, but it shouldn't happen. This is the worst team that will come in here all year long. Tennessee should absolutely hammer them.
Yeah, they should. Well, we thought we were gonna hammer Georgia State. Did it happen?
No, but it's inexcusable. But there's a difference.
You got that right.
They're a Sun Belt FCS opponent, FBS opponent. This is an FCS team, a Division II team. Titans, Bill, you hammer them. You beat their eyes shut. I like what Withrow said there. Don't even worry about getting your backups in the game. For this team's morale and this fan base's morale,
Yeah. You
need to leave your starters in through maybe the entire game and beat these guys 70 to nothing, if you can, just to send a message and get your swag back.
Yeah, until somebody gets hurt, and then we'll be on them.
You
got to
take your chances. I mean, we're in emergency territory right here.
I agree with that. I do.
I'll tell you one thing with what Chris Stinky ought to do. He ought to go back to baseball and join a Tony Vitello staff.
I don't know about that. I mean, the guy's a bum.
Hitting coach.
It's actually pretty.
I think we just ship him back to Tallahassee,
before,
Bill.
Before he,
pretty smart.
Before, you know, he went to Florida State, didn't he play in the Toronto Blue Jay organization?
Yeah,
he also
here.
An ex-Tennessee Smoky?
He played in Knoxville.
Yes.
Wasn't he like a top 10?
So I think he ought to be. I think he ought to go back into baseball.
God knows he can't coach a quarterback.
Can we just transfer his contract over to baseball and maybe deduct it by a couple hundred grand?
I'm thinking of all the problems we've got with Tennessee football, and I realize that Bear has this weird thing for Chris Winkie and. Stinky's pretty funny, Tights Bill. I'll give you
it's
that.
Not weird.
But
I mean,
Chris
Winkie
is way down the list of our problems. Not even top 10, probably not even top 25. When you talk about the problems with Tennessee football, like Chris Winkie's not even on the radar for me.
They didn't hire the coach, they hired the name.
They hired him because he was at IMG Academy.
Did you buy a Cadillac or a Lexus? Did you buy the car or the name?
Although, Jarrett Garantano has regressed since last season, and Chris Winkie's now his position coach, so maybe I'm giving the guy too much credit. I don't know.
Well,
I don't know anything with this program
anymore. I think they ought to replace a quarterback, and if a Jarrett Garantano or Garantano or Garant something wants to quit, I'd say thank God and Greyhound, he's gone. Thank you, Roy Clark.
Roy Clark reference.
Wow. Titans, Bill, can you believe known dullard Brandon Orrick from Get Blitzed will be making the trek westward on I-40 to see his Indian crapless dolts get bent over a barrel and shown the 50 state by my Titans?
Buddy, I believe the Titans is going to be ready. I believe the Titans is going to win that game. If they could play that same kind of game against Indianapolis as they did against the Cleveland Clowns, thank you, Tony Basilio, they'll win, and they should win big.
They won't. They'll blow this game.
I
love how you're all back on the bandwagon now, Bill.
You burn it down
all summer long.
He called you a
moron. I don't think so, you immature moron.
Oh! Hey, Bear, you want to put a little friendly wager on it? Why don't you put your money where your mouth is with Titans, Bill?
Hey, who does the Redskins play, you immature moron?
You going to let Titans Bill own you like that?
No. He's a crazy old man. I mean, he is. And he's flushed now.
Speaking of alcohol, alcohol in Neyland Stadium. UT says it sold 22,689 alcoholic beverages, including only 105 glasses of wine during the BYU game.
All right, hold on. I'm just going to do some quick figuring here.
22,689 beers.
Times, we'll just say 12 bucks.
Sure.
13 bucks, actually, but yeah.
264 grand.
They sold 105 glasses of wine.
Yeah, that's about 1/48th of Pruitt's buyout. Stay with us. The drive continues here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Quick timeout. More of your phone calls coming up.
The drive rages on.
Drive continues. Earlier in the show, Bear, you're claiming that Kentucky fans once poisoned Smokey on purpose.
I am fairly certain. I don't know about somebody fed the dog a chocolate pie.
Chocolate pie.
I've heard the story.
Jake Lester, the Drive's quality control analyst, has found six Smokey facts that will shock, astonish, and amaze you. Jake, what did you find for us?
We've got some interesting things here on Smokey. However, a chocolate pie is not included.
Okay.
The first Smokey fact, Smokey II was kidnapped by Kentucky students in 1955. However, he was returned before kickoff unharmed. Vanderbilt students tried the same thing later that season, but accidentally stole the handler's other dog, Rusty, who was only half blue tick.
Oh.
What happened to Smokey number one, Jake?
Oops.
Let's just say his life ended tragically.
Under the hood or the wheel?
You want to hear a funny Smokey story real quick?
Yeah.
Back in the days, and Trey, you'll find this amazing, but they used to let you go and watch the entire football practice when Philip Fulmer was coach and talk to whoever you wanted. And I was over there at practice one day, and Coach Fulmer would speak to the media after every practice. And there's only like a dozen or so people at the time.
Yeah.
And do you remember, Bear, when Smokey like blew out his ACL running through the tee one year?
Yeah.
It happened. Like Smokey popped. And, of course, Philip Fulmer doesn't know. Like, he's coaching a team in the middle of the season. And so that was like the news had broke that Smokey had busted his ACL. Smokey was out for the year. True story. I swear to God. And so right after practice, of course, Coach Fulmer's thinking about like what they're going to run on 3rd and 7 against Florida. And everybody gets around Fulmer. And somebody asks him, Coach, what are your thoughts on the news on Smokey? And you could just tell, like, he's like, has no idea. Like, and he's looking over the back. And John Painter, who used to be in sports information people back there, is like making this, he's like shaking his head no and frowning. Like trying to say like something bad happened. And Fulmer goes, Smokey was a good dog.
No, he didn't.
So Smokey died?
It's a direct quote. Yeah, he thought Smokey, he goes, Smokey, long pause, was a good dog.
That's pretty fantastic, actually.
Number two, Smokey 6 was listed on the team's injury report after he suffered heat exhaustion at the UCLA game in 1991.
Because it was hotter than a devil's hand out there.
God, man, can you imagine if Smokey had died at the game from a heat stroke? It would have been a tragedy.
It was hot that day.
The curse is real.
Number three, Smokey 7 was forced into early retirement after he bit the same tuba player in the Pride of the Southland band twice in consecutive games in 1994.
Why would he do that?
That takes talent. Bite the same band member?
I mean, it had to be an odor, right?
Might have just provoked him. I don't know.
You come to my house, my rule of thumb is if you come to my house and my dog doesn't like you, I don't like you.
I mean, you think it's just some fat, smelly tuba player who, like, didn't wash right and he stunk and smoky.
Have smelled like sausage or something.
Maybe he had some drugs on him.
Wait a minute. Sausage.
Yeah. I love sausage.
Number four. In 1998, Smokey ate the most successful Smokey, who went 91-22 with two SEC titles and a national championship, got sick before the 98 Fiesta Bowl, so the handlers took him to a doctor where they found out that Smokey had eaten a hotel washcloth that had become lodged in his intestines.
Oh.
The doctors decided he did not need immediate surgery, so Smokey attended the national championship game, then had his blockage removed the next day.
Blockage.
With a Smokey was at the 98 National Championship against Florida State with a washcloth that he ate at the hotel in his belly?
In his intestines.
Oh, that's
and
terrible.
It says that he seemed like he was fine, like nothing ever happened.
Well, how did they know something was wrong?
Because the day before, he was so sick, they had to take him to the vet.
How did
I guess he just perked up.
How did they get the washcloth out?
Surgical procedure.
I'll tell you two different ways.
Which, I mean,
one,
yeah,
you just let nature run its course.
That's going to be hard.
You
to
think
dump
a dog like
a
that can pass a towel?
I saw a black lab pass a sock. It was the damnedest thing I've ever seen in my life, but he got it.
Talent.
He got it out.
I mean, I'm just thinking, like, not to be too graphic here, but I'm thinking the obstruction has to be removed. You're going in the back door, right?
Yeah, it's,
I mean,
cloth, it's, too. It's,
yeah.
Okay, real quick before the end of the hour here.
Gotta get stuck.
Got a couple more. Number five, Smokey 10, the current Smokey, who made his debut in 2013, is the only Smokey not descended from the original bloodline. This hound is the first from a new Tennessee-born and bred bloodline that will continue from here on out.
See? Maybe that's what's
there
wrong.
There it is.
We got an impure mudblood.
We got an inbred Smokey.
On the sideline.
And last but not least, possibly the best for last, once during pregame warmups in 2006, Smokey 9, who served from 2004 to 2012, bit an Alabama player on the sideline when the Tide receiver fell on Smokey during pregame warmups.
Yeah, that's what
I hope
gets.
It hurt.
Roll down Tide.
That's what he gets. You better recognize. You come up here, you're on Smokey's turf.
You better fix that damn Smokey thing.
Hour number three of The Drive coming up. It's Fan Run Radio.